And we'll do that again this morning. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house. And ladies, this morning, that choice is up to you. You're going to be a wise woman or a foolish woman. You're going to build your house or you're going to pluck it down. Those are the options that the verse gives. Every wise woman buildeth her house. And you might say, well, I don't really want to do either one, and I don't want to be obligated to do either one. Well, by default, you're going to pluck it down. If you're not making the effort to be wise and to build up your house, you will by default fall into the foolish category. And the Bible says, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. 2 weeks ago, we saw the first lady that we looked at. That was the lady Ruth. And we said that she built up because she stayed with God. She said, thy God is going to be my God. And then last week we looked at the Shunammite woman. The Bible characterized her, or doesn't characterize her, it declares that she was a great woman. And then this morning I want us to look here at Acts chapter 18. We'll read three verses and pray and be seated this morning. Acts chapter number 18. We're going to see the Illa family this morning. Not really. We don't know if they had last names or not. Acts chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, Inseparable. Inseparable. And ladies, I want to challenge you this morning. If you are going to build your house, if you're going to build it up instead of pluck it down, you got to make the decision today that you are going to be inseparable with your husband. That the two of you, when somebody hears one name, they automatically hear the other. In the Scriptures, and we'll see here in just a moment, the very few times that they are mentioned, four or five times in the Scripture, when you see Priscilla, you see Aquila. When you see Aquila, you see Priscilla. Inseparable. That's going to be our thought this morning. Father, help us, teach us today, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. I do pray once again, if there's one here today without Christ, Father, I pray that today they would see their need for the Savior. Father, for us as believers today, I pray that You'd challenge us, teach us, and encourage us, convict us where necessary. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what You'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, hold your place here in Acts 18. We're going to come right back in just a moment. I want you to go to the very beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. As we have mentioned numerous times, marriage is God's creation, and the truths which He reveals about marriage should be followed with the utmost gravity. And one of the truths regarding marriage is found in Genesis 2 and is borne out in the life of the couple that we're going to look at this morning, the couple that we just read in Acts chapter number 18. And the wonderful truth before us is that God unites two people as one at the very moment they say, I do. By the way, it is not 50-50 making 100%. It is 100% and 100%. We make the statement, and I've probably said it myself, but men sometimes, when they're talking about their wives, they'll say, she's my better half. That's not true. She didn't bring just half of herself into the marriage. And she's not just half of that marriage. Each of you brought one whole individual, and God made you one. And that's the truth that we find in the couple that we're going to look at today. In Genesis 2, and I bring us here because this is really where we find the first mention of this truth of God making two as one. And when two people come together, they are to be inseparable. One of the tactics that the enemy seeks to deceive husbands and wives with today, and he's done it in every generation, is that he seeks to get husbands and wives to be independent of each other. And that's not the way we ought to be. Yeah, we each have personalities. We have our own personality, and we bring that to the marriage. But the world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemy tries to get us to be independent in our identities. And we ought not be. Wherever you saw Priscilla, you saw Aquila. Wherever you saw Aquila, you saw Priscilla. The world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemy tries to get us to be independent in our identities. He tries to get us to be independent in our agendas. And we could go on and on and on, but the Bible says we're supposed to be one. And what we find in the life of Aquila and Priscilla, and we're speaking primarily of Priscilla this morning, is that they were absolutely inseparable. You couldn't separate them. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And I say amen to that this morning. Aren't you thankful for that this morning, men? Aren't you thankful that God knew from the get-go that it was not good for us to be alone? He said, I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. By the way, I think it's amazing that as one preacher so eloquently noted, the part of the body that God took to make the lady was the part that was closest to the man's heart. It was his rib. The Bible says he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man, verse 24, and here's what we're speaking of this morning, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Not two anymore, they're one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want to give us several, I want to see several proofs from Acts 18 and from a couple other passages this morning of the truth of the inseparability of Aquila and Priscilla, and encourage and challenge us this morning. That ought to be exactly the same way it is in our marriages this morning. And ladies, there ought not be an agenda in your life to be independent of your husband, to be separate. Look, the world desires for that. The world wants the woman to rise up and to roar against her husband and to rise up and to be dominant over her husband. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. You might say this morning, well, Pastor, you're saying I can't have a life and I can't have a career and I can't have all that. No, no, no. Just go to Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman was a busy woman. The virtuous woman bought land and produced. But the virtuous woman did not try to be independent of her husband. She lifted up her husband. The Bible says that he was known in the gates. Why? Why did he have a reputation in the gates of the city? Because he had a wife who lifted him up. He had a wife who with him, the two of them together, were inseparable. Go back to Acts chapter number 18. I want to give you five statements this morning, or five characteristic traits of this couple and how they were inseparable. If you have a bulletin this morning, you have the outline on the back. It'll be easy to follow along this morning. Number one, I want us to see, first of all, inseparably, they toiled in their trade. They toiled in their trade. Now, you may not work together as Aquila and Priscilla did. They were tent makers. And the Bible said they were tent makers together. That was their trade. And that, by the way, that was the Apostle Paul's trade as well. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. We know that. But his Jewish trade, the trade that he learned as a young man, was to be a tent maker. And so when he came to Corinth, the Bible says that he met this couple. And by the way, it doesn't tell us right at the beginning whether this couple was saved or not right when he met them. I believe they were. I believe they were already saved, but we know they were saved by the time we get down to later in the chapter. And we'll see that in just a moment. But number one this morning, they toiled together in their trade. You may not work at a business together. You may not have a business together. But whatever the trade is and whatever the labor is that we do, we ought to do it together. We ought to be inseparable in our agendas. We may work at different jobs. You may have a separate career or a separate trade or a separate technical aspect of your life than your wife or your husband. But everything that we do ought to be together. It ought to be inseparable. We're working together. We're not working apart. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to do with this morning, but I always find it interesting. And look, if you do it, that's fine. It's your business. But I always find it interesting when husbands and wives keep everything separate. They keep their bank accounts separate. They keep all their passwords separate. A husband, you ought to allow your wife to have every password to every device that you have and let her look at it whenever she wants to. Because we ought to have nothing to hide. Men, you ought to have nothing to hide. Ladies, you ought to have nothing to hide. Well, he just doesn't trust me. And it's not the point. The point is, anytime I want to look at a device of my wife's or she wants to look at mine, it's there. I don't have anything to hide. And she knows my password to my phone. She knows most of my passwords because they're usually all the same. To just about any device that I have. She wants to look at anything she can because we ought not have anything to hide. We ought not be separate in anything we do. And I think the world, the flesh, and the devil, I think the enemy comes along and tries to get us to have little compartments of our lives that are separate from each other. Why does he do that? Well, this is my little compartment of life. Maybe it's a hobby or maybe it's some buddies. And again, I'm not saying you ought not have buddies or have hobbies, but you ought to include your spouse in those things. You ought to include your spouse in your hobbies. You ought to include her in the things. And by the way, she ought to include you in those. Number one this morning, inseparably they toiled in their trade. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Number two, inseparably they were moved by the mission. Inseparably, they toiled in their trade. Inseparably, they were moved by the mission. Let me go back up to number one. Again, in verses 1 through 3, they're talking about being tent makers. They're speaking about, God's speaking about their livelihood. But let me say this. All of us as husbands and wives, we have many different trades. God has given us children to raise. We ought to toil in that together. We ought to be on the same page in that. Whether it's the discipline, whether it's where they should go to school, what they should watch, what they shouldn't, whether they're going to have a phone or not have a phone, whatever. We ought to be on the same page in those areas. We are toiling together in rearing children for the glory of Almighty God. Why would we have separate agendas about that? We ought to have the same agenda. And by the way, that agenda ought to be based upon this. It ought to come from this. So number one, inseparably they toiled in their trade. Secondly, they were moved by the mission. Look, if you would, at verse number 18, now verses 4 through 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Corinth. He's teaching the people, the young infant baby church there in Corinth. And by the way, this isn't the message this morning, but Corinth was a licentious city. It was a city full of debauchery. And Paul has just come and he's preaching and people are being saved and a church has started. And notice verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. We know that he tarried there at least a year and a half. A year and a half. Paul never stayed anywhere for a long time, but he stayed there for a year and a half at least. And the Bible says, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. He left Corinth. He met this couple at Corinth. They were from Rome. They had been dispelled from Rome. Claudius had dispelled all the Jews from Rome. And so they came to Corinth and they met Paul there. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. He sailed thence into Syria. And who went with him? Priscilla and Aquila. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. Paul, you're going to another city? Paul, you're going further on your missionary journeys? Paul, you're going further to preach the gospel? Paul, you're going further to start churches? Paul, you're going further to minister? I think we want to go with you. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you Priscillas this morning would be, woo, let's do it! How many, but we like, and look, I'm right there, I'm right here with you on this one. I like being settled. I like a home to go to every day. I like a place to stay. I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of the word, but I like continuity. I like consistency. Man, Aquila and Priscilla, let's go on a missions trip. We can take our trade of making tents, we can take it anywhere. And so let's go on a missions trip. And the Bible says that when Paul left Corinth, what did they do? Priscilla and Aquila. We don't know. Maybe Priscilla came to Aquila and said, hey, this would be a good opportunity for us. Maybe Aquila came to Priscilla. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know that together, inseparable, they were moved by the mission. What was the mission? The mission was to see people saved. The mission was to give the gospel. The mission was to minister to other people. The mission was to start other churches. The mission was, hey, possibly, hey, let's go. Let's learn a little bit more from the Apostle Paul. They were moved by their mission. And by the way, I think sometimes we're so rooted in our way of lives today, a jackhammer wouldn't move us out of our positions. But Aquila and Priscilla, maybe Aquila came and said, hey, you know, the Apostle Paul needs some help. Maybe we should go. We'll sell the house or we'll sell stuff. We'll go. We'll get on the ship. We'll pay the fare thereof and we'll go with him. And the Bible says, and he came to Ephesus, verse number 19, and left them there. So they're sailing with Paul. He comes to Ephesus. He leaves them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now he left them there. They stayed in Ephesus. They left Rome. They came to Corinth. They left Corinth. They went to Ephesus. And by the way, we'll see in just a little bit, whether it was in Ephesus, we know for sure in Rome, when they went back to Rome later, we know for sure that they had a church in their house. Had a church in the... You know what? They were moved by the mission. Priscilla's this morning, ladies this morning, if your husband came to you and said, hey, I think God's called me to the mission field. We're going to sell everything we have. We're going to go on deputation. What would be your response? God's called me in the ministry. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to be a pastor. So we're going to sell everything we have. We're going to move. And I'm going to go to Bible college. This is what we're going to do. What would be your response? You see, I believe one of the things that would help our nation tremendously if we would have husbands and wives who were inseparable in their agenda for Jesus Christ. Inseparable. Not, well, I don't want to leave my home. That's going to cost us too much. We're going to give up everything that we've worked so hard for. And we've made a life here. And we've built a life. And we have stuff. It wasn't Priscilla. Priscilla was moved. By the way, in her spirit and physically. She left Corinth to go with her husband to travel with the Apostle Paul. They get to Ephesus and they stay. Bible says in verse 22, this is speaking of Paul, when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, Aquila and Priscilla are still in Ephesus. Number one this morning, they toiled in their trade. Number two, they were moved by the mission, inseparable. Is that you and your husband this morning? Hey, husband, is that you and your wife this morning? Inseparable. Let me give you number three. Look down at verse number 24. Number one, inseparably they toiled in their trade. Number two, inseparably they were moved by the mission. Number three, inseparably, they were studied in the Scriptures. They were studied in the Scriptures. They were settled. They knew the Word of God. They studied it. How do you know that, Pastor? Look at verse number 24. They're still at Ephesus, and the Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, Apollos, he comes to Ephesus. By the way, he's just got a cool name to begin with, right? Apollos. But the Bible says he's eloquent. He's got a good preaching voice. And the Bible says he's mighty in what? The Scriptures. This man knows the Scriptures. Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Notice this, knowing only the baptism of John. The baptism of John was the baptism of repentance for the Jews. And the Bible says he only knew the baptism of John. Notice verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Notice what they did. You see, this was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the Scriptures, but he was a little off in one area. And the Bible says he was preaching boldly in the synagogue. And Aquila and Priscilla are there, and they hear him preaching. And the Bible says in verse number 26, when they had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They took Apollos, and they probably took him to their home, not in front of folks. The Bible says they took him unto themselves. They took him aside. They probably took him to their home, and they had a meal together and said, look, you're an eloquent man. You know the Scriptures, but in this baptism of John, your preaching is wrong. Look what the Bible says. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know what this couple was? They were studied in the Scriptures. The two of them together knew the Word of God. To the point when they heard this man, eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, but he's wrong in this one little area about baptism. They took him and they explained and they expounded and they said, look, baptism for the church is different, and it means something different than the baptism of John for the Jew. Your preaching's a little bit off. How did they even know that? Because they knew the Bible. Because they knew the Scriptures. Yes, when I was growing up as a boy, many times and most of the time, many of the families in our church, it was the mamas who knew much about the Scriptures. Hey men, that ought not be the way it is. We ought know the Scriptures together. Husbands and wives ought know the Bible together. It ought not just be the man, well, he knows everything about the Bible. Now, I understand the Bible does tell us in Corinthians that if a lady has a question, she ought to ask her husband about that at home, the Bible says specifically. But look, it ought not just be the husband who knows all the Bible. It ought not be just the wife, the mother, who knows all the Bible and teaches the children. It ought to be both of them together, inseparable in the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God, speaking to each other and saying, hey, can I tell you what I saw in the Bible this morning in my devotions? In my quiet time with God? You know what God has been teaching me? Let me share a devotion, devotional that I read lately. My wife does that numerous times. She'll say, hey, I want you to read this. I read this. Somebody posted this devotional. And she'll say, I want you to read this. It was really good. We ought to be sharing stuff with each other. Inseparable. They were studied in the Scriptures. By the way, doesn't it always go back to that? With Ruth, with the Shunammite woman, a lady who's going to build up her house is always about the Word. It's always about knowing what the Bible says. It's always about getting into the Word of God and reading and knowing and studying so that we can expound it to our children, to the next generation. Psalm 78, and Lord willing, we'll be there tonight in our message, Psalm 78. The Bible says, and we've looked at this passage a number of times, one of my favorite passages in the Scriptures, it speaks about the fact that the generation to come might know. One of my favorite preachers, he always makes the comment, he says, every generation must advance. Every generation must advance. And the truth is, every generation must help the next generation to advance too. What's one of the reasons why we do Master Club? It's to help the next generation to advance in the Word of God. It's to help the next generation to advance in their growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the generation to come might know. Okay, how do we help the next generation to advance? We only do that when we know the Scriptures. We only do that when we study and we know, and we can come to our children and say, hey, you ought not do that, or you ought to do this, and this is why, because the Bible says this. By the way, I'll say it again, and I don't even think it doesn't have to be said, but listen, dear friend, one of the reasons why we have such an overwhelming but it can seem like we're overwhelmed today with foolishness and with sin and with debauchery in our nation. And we are. But you know why that is? It's because they don't know the Bible. We should never be surprised when sinners sin. Why does that surprise us? Why does that surprise us when sinners sin? The reason they sin is because they don't know the Bible. The reason they sin is because they don't know Christ. The reason they think that certain things are okay is because they don't know what the Bible says. The reason that we have a generation of young people today who are so confused about whether they're a young lady or a young man is because they've never been taught that the Bible says that God created man and woman, male and female, created He them. Not 100 different genders. 2 sexes, male and female. Why are they so confused about that? Because they've never been taught it. And they need to be taught the Word of God. Because we've had a couple of generations and several decades where we haven't taught the Word of God the way that we should. It always goes back to the Word. And this couple, inseparably, they were studied in the Scriptures. And by the way, things haven't changed just because we're in the year 2022. God never changes. The same God in the book of Leviticus, the same God in the book of Genesis, the same God in the book of Deuteronomy, the same God in the book of Joshua is still the same God that was in the book of Acts. And it's still the same God that's God today in the year 2022. He doesn't change. Just because opinions and just because societies change, God doesn't change. God hates sin. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. If God doesn't hate sin, then what a shame that the holy God, Jesus Christ, had to come and die on the cross. No, God hates sin. And it's always all about the Word. Number 3, inseparably they were studied in the Scriptures. Let me give you number 4. Would you take your Bibles and go to Romans 16? Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16. Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16. Back-to-back books. Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16. Number 1, inseparably they toiled in their trade. Inseparably they were moved by the mission. Inseparably they were studied in the Scriptures. Hey, listen, ladies, stop trying to be separated from your husband. Stop trying to have a different identity and a different agenda about what's going on in your family from your husband. And husbands, I say the same thing to you, but we're talking about the ladies today. Priscilla. Number 4, inseparably, they were committed to the church. Inseparably, they were committed to the church. Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is giving commendations to different individuals, different co-laborers with him for Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And then drop down to verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Still talking about Aquila and Priscilla. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 19. By the way, in Romans 16, I believe Aquila and Priscilla are back in Rome. I believe they've gone back. I believe the church that is being spoken of is a church in Rome, in their home. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The people in Corinth, the people in the church at Corinth would have known who Aquila and Priscilla were. They were there. They were in Corinth when Paul came. And the Apostle Paul, as he ends the epistle of 1 Corinthians, he says, the churches of Asia salute you. They greet you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Number 4, inseparably, they were committed to a church. I was reading a little book this week, and a lady wrote a book and was mentioning what she wanted to leave for her grandchildren and for her children. She listed about 5 or 6 different things that she wanted to leave for her children and her grandchildren. This was one of the things she said, I want to leave. She said, I want to leave a well-worn path to the church. She said, that's what I want to leave for my children and my grandchildren. A well-worn path to the church. I want my children to be able to find the church when I'm gone. I want my children to be able to get on the path. It's well-worn. They know how to get there because they've been there many times. A well-worn path to the church. Inseparably, they were committed to the church. They were not committed. We don't know if Aquila was the pastor in the church. I believe he probably was. We don't know that for sure, but we do know that they allowed a church to be held in their home. Why? Because they were committed to the church. Inseparably. And again, as I said with the scriptures, it's not mama just taking the kids to church. It's not just daddy taking the kids to church. It's mama and daddy together taking the kids to church. It's mama and daddy together going to church. One of the only things, probably maybe the only thing that bothers me about being a pastor is I don't get to sit with my wife during church. Is that I don't get to sit with my kids during church. And that's probably the only thing, if I could do different, is be able to sit with my family during the church service. They were committed to the church. The Bible doesn't tell us. It gives us 2 verses, said that they had the church in their house, but they were committed to the church, whether it was the ministry, whether it was giving money, whatever, their time, their efforts, their energy. They were committed to the cause of Christ. Listen, if they would leave Corinth and go to Ephesus and be moved by the mission, you know they were committed to the church. Aquila and Priscilla, inseparable. Inseparable in their commitment to the church. Let me give you one last, and we'll be done this morning. You're in Romans 16. We skipped a verse. Romans chapter 16. Inseparably, they were committed to the church. And Priscilla's this morning, if you're not committed to the church, why don't you just make up your mind this morning, I'm going to start being committed to the church. I'm going to start being committed to the attendance to it. I'm going to start being committed to serving in it. I'm going to start being committed to giving my tithes and offerings to it. I'm just going to start being committed to Jesus Christ and His church. You might say, well, my husband's not committed. Listen, if you'll get committed to the church, somewhere down the line, you'll probably bring him with you. He'll probably get in lockstep with you. Or maybe husbands, maybe you just need to be the one that says this morning, we're going to be committed to the church and help your Priscilla to get committed to the church. Inseparably, they were committed to the church. And number 5, Romans chapter 16. Verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Verse number 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. We know they're not dead. They haven't died per se because they have a church in their home. It's mentioned in verse number 5. But the Bible says here, Paul says, look, greet Priscilla and Aquila, who for me, they laid, maybe he's referring back to when they left Corinth. But the Bible says in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said, look, I'm not only giving thanks, and I'm not only grateful to Priscilla and Aquila for what they have done for me, and the fact they've laid down their necks for me, and they've laid down their lives for me, but you know who else is grateful? All the churches of the Gentiles. Because they've had a part in it. The fact that they traveled to Ephesus, they have a part in the church at Ephesus. By the way, the letter to the epistle to the Ephesus, one of the most doctrinally full books that you're going to find in all the Bible, the book of Ephesians. He said, the Gentile churches thank you as well, Aquila and Priscilla. Number 5, inseparably, they laid down their lives. No, they hadn't died yet. They hadn't given the ultimate sacrifice, but they had given themselves to the work of Jesus Christ. They had laid down, the Bible says here, their necks, stuck out their neck for the Apostle Paul. They lay down their lives. Inseparable. Priscilla's, is that you and your husband this morning? Husbands, is that you and your Priscilla this morning? Are you like the Illa family this morning? Aquila and Priscilla? Are you like them this morning? That when someone hears one name, they automatically relate the other name? We can go through the Bible and do that, can't we? Not just with Aquila and Priscilla. We can go through with good couples and bad couples. We can say a name. They're inseparably linked together. Ahab is inseparably linked to who? Jezebel. And that's not a good thing. But they are inseparably linked. Are you inseparably linked with your spouse? When someone says Roma, do they automatically say Carrie? Someone says the fries, Stephen Pan. I mean, it's just inseparably linked. Or is it when they hear your name, they don't even know your husband's name? Or when they hear your name, they don't even know your wife's name because you don't ever talk about them. Maybe it's your workplace. You don't ever talk about your wife. You don't ever talk about your husband in a good way. Inseparable. When you see Aquila, you see Priscilla. When you see Priscilla, you see Aquila. Why? Because they were inseparable in what God had called them to do. They toiled in their trade together. They were moved by the mission together. Boy, you ought to have hearts and spirits as a husband and wife that when God stirs in your heart, He's stirring both of you. When He's stirring you to do something, boy, it's not just one of you, it's both of you He's stirring. Inseparably, they were studied in the Scriptures. Inseparably, they were committed to the church. We ought to have a desire to leave our children and our grandchildren a well-worn path to the church. That when we're dead and gone, they still know how to get there. Because they've been there many times. Because you're committed to the church. Inseparably, they laid down their lives. So let me ask you this morning as we close. Did Priscilla build up? Or did she pluck down? She built up. We don't even know if they had any kids. The Bible never says. The Bible never says if they had any children. But whether it was just the two of them or whether they had a tassel full of kids, Priscilla built up her house. Why? Because she was a wise woman. We do know that because she was studied in the Scriptures. Apollos may have been mighty, but so was Priscilla and Aquila. How is it this morning, couples? You want to help your church? You want to help your community? You want to help your nation? Starts at home. Starts at home. I'm preaching to the ladies this month, but well, my mind's flowing to the men this morning. Because we need some men who will get up every Sunday morning, and no matter how they feel, and no matter what they think, they get up on Sunday morning, and they get their kids, and they get their wife, and they get their family, and they head to the house of God. I was listening to a preacher this week, and I'm done. He said, isn't it amazing that we take the Bible, that our government will take the Bible out of school. But yet, when those kids who never were allowed to have the Bible in school, when those kids get in trouble and they go to the penitentiary, then they want to put a Bible in their hand. He said, why don't we put a Bible in their hand to begin with so that they don't get to the penitentiary? You know what, daddies? That starts with us at home. That starts with us putting the Bible in their hand at home. Hey, who cares what the school does? You see, we've just kind of stumbled into another problem right there. Who cares what the school does? If daddies at home would put the Bible in their hands, it doesn't matter what the school does. You know, we fuss and fume and complain about, oh, the school won't let us have the Ten Commandments. The school won't let us read the Bible and the school won't let us do this. You can do it at home. You can do it at the house. So what if they don't do it at school? Do it at the house. God help us to be inseparable. Father, we love You. Thankful for Your Word. Father, thank You for the spouse that You've given me. Thank You for the spouses that You've given each one in here this morning. Father, I thank You for the Aquilas and Priscillas that we have in our church. You say one name, you know the other. They are inseparable. Whether they're together or not, they're inseparable. They are inseparably linked. Father, I pray that that would be true not only in our names, but I pray that that would be true in our agendas, in what we desire to do, in the fact that You move us in our mission. Father, whatever the subject matter may be, Father, help us to be inseparable. Father, help us to bear out Genesis chapter number 2. You've made us one flesh. We have one agenda. We have one mission. That's to serve You. That's to give the gospel. That's to try to help people be saved and then help them to grow. And Father, may we be inseparable in that mission. May we be committed to the church. Inseparably linked to this church. Father, help us to be willing to lay our lives down if that would be the case. Help us to stick our neck out for another brother or sister. Help us to stick our neck out for the cause of Christ. Father, I know we didn't really preach this morning but to this matter, but Lord, if there's someone here today without Christ who doesn't have any confidence of heaven, they have no idea where they're going to spend eternity. Father, I pray that today they would come and simply say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I need to be saved. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in these next few moments, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Look, if the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart this morning, would you move? Would you allow Him to move you this morning? Maybe there might be a husband and wife who would need to just kneel where you're at, or maybe come to this platform, or come to this front pew, or maybe even just to a middle aisle or a side aisle, and just kneel and pray together and say, God, help us to be inseparable. The mission You've given us, the life that You've given us, Father, help us to be inseparable. Miss Jo's going to play. If you need to come, I beg you to come this morning. Has the Holy Spirit worked in your heart? Don't quench Him. Don't quench Him. Look, Aquila and Priscilla, the Holy Spirit worked in their heart and they moved. Not just spiritually, but physically. They moved. Inseparable. Might be a husband and wife who would go home and this afternoon and just simply say, sweetie, honey, I want our agendas to be exactly the same. I want us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want us to be on separate pages. I don't want us to have separate ideas about the life that we're living and the life that we're building together. Lord, I want us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. Ladies, are you building up or are you plucking down? Ruth built up. The Shunammite woman, she built up. Priscilla, she built up. Every wise woman buildeth her house. but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Amen. Look this way if you would. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Ted Thatcher to pray for us. I do want to say, I didn't mention, it's good to have Brianna home. And she's going to be home for the summer. And so thankful for that. I know Mom and Daddy are glad to have her home. And I believe even a little, in just a little bit, Jeffrey is too. No, still can't convince him of that. Brianna, it's good to have you home. It's good to have Paul back again, staying with the Roberts. And they were here last Sunday night. It's good to have him. He is from France. Anything you need to know about France, just ask Paul. Are French fries really French? Probably not. But, yeah, it's one of those dumb Tennessee questions, huh? Probably get those all the time. It is good to have him this morning. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Look forward to seeing you back tonight. Choir at 5 o'clock and then 6 o'clock for the service. Brother James Scallions, would you just dismiss us this morning, please, sir?